Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Nutcracker Syndrome podcast with yours truly. Simone, I am very excited. I'm continuing to do these episodes. I appreciate all of those who have listened and provided me some recommendations for episodes you'd like to listen to. So I'm retroactively going back and realizing, like, gosh, I actually forgot to, I should have added this in. So this episode, episode 9, is going to be about the nuclear medicine scan. And I should have actually done this back. I don't like using the should to, have to, ought to. I want to be compassionate with myself. But I'm like, gosh, I don't know why I wasn't thinking about doing that when I published the venogram and the renal hyaline block episode, because the nuclear medicine scan I actually had done prior to my auto transplant. I just completely blanked on it, which speaks to the blackout nature that some of us are experiencing as we are navigating this absolute cluster of an experience that is Nutcracker syndrome. So this episode is about the nuclear medicine scan. Let me say before I jump into what is the nuclear medicine scan, how does it work, and then go into the details of the scan itself. So you can know what to expect on that day. I originally wasn't even going to have this scan done. So some people have been asking me, because I'm based out of the Denver area. I live in the Kitt Ridge Evergreen area. And some people are like, why didn't you go and see Pashak? Why did Dr. Pashak not do your surgery? They just at towards the end of my process with UW Health, they just reopened their Nutcracker Syndrome program. And they just had a lot of ducks they needed to get in a row, which meant I was gonna have to wait exponentially longer for a surgery that I absolutely needed as soon as possible. Now again, there's desperation there. That's maybe some of you are like, well, you should have waited. You really should have waited longer. I was able to get Dr. Pashak and his team to get eyes on my scans, and the coordinator Tracy reached out and was like, we looked at your scans, and this very much looks like Nutcracker. Discussing wanting to bring me in for my in person, but I also was being I had my in person with UW Health. They also confirmed that I had Nutcracker. So I took them looking at my scans as like, that's my second opinion. Like when I got off the phone with Tracy, I started crying and Kyle's like, are you okay? What's going on? And I said, I'm very well aware that there's no, I have to have this surgery. That was my second opinion. So I didn't actually pursue doing an in-person with UC Health because I knew I was gonna have to wait anywhere from 3 to 5 more months to even get scheduled for the surgery. On top of that, UW Health was offering me a December 2024 surgery date. My out-of-pocket max and deductible had already been met, so Mama was definitely going for a free surgery because if I would have waited for UC Health, I would have had a whole new deductible, whole new out-of-pocket max. So we just decided that we did have the wherewithal to travel. You could obviously argue like, well, yeah, you were able to save money with your insurance, but you still had to pay for travel. And that's a whole nother thing I'll get into when I publish my insurance episode on them reimbursing me or not for my travel. So that's why at the very beginning in the intro, I said, listen, I made decisions for myself that might not be the decisions you make for you. I know a couple people on the journey that are absolutely like, they're really, really in agony and hurting, but they still want to wait to get multiple opinions. And I absolutely respect that. So that's just to clear the air there. But the reason why I bring that conversation up is to say UW Health didn't actually order the nuclear medicine scan for me. When Dr. Pashak and his team saw my scans, they looked at the CTs, the CT and my venogram. They called me to say they wanted to move forward with the process, but they wanted to order more scans for me. One was a CTA, of which I told them I already had that scheduled with UW Health, and they wanted to do the nuclear medicine scan, and that was something I had never actually heard about. So I thought that was interesting, and it speaks to how every surgeon, every Nutcracker surgeon, has a different order of operations and things that they want to do. So it was really nice that UC Health was able to order the nuclear medicine scan for me. I went and had it done, and I sent those records to UW Health as well. So I didn't necessarily count UC Health out at that point. I decided once I knew I could get the surgery over Christmas with UW Health to go with them, so I didn't continue pursuing UC Health. Now to transition into the nuclear medicine scan itself. So what is a nuclear medicine scan? This scan was ordered to determine how well my kidneys were working. in an event that, let's say they get into surgery and they're like, yikes, we didn't expect this, which they do their due diligence to try to not let that happen. That's what the CTA is for, where they go into detail to look at the anatomy to prepare for potential complications. But just if they did need to make the decision to remove my left kidney, during the auto transplant, meaning that they tried doing it, they relocated it, and something just comes up. So what the nuclear medicine scan is, it can also be called a split, like a split kidney test, I think is another name for it, is ideally what I was told is you want your kidneys to be working like 50-50. So you got your left kidney working at 50%, your right working at 50%, as far as functionality goes. I have read in some people's posts that if your right kidney is not at a minimum of 45%, surgeons might not pursue either donating the left kidney or depending upon if you are a candidate for auto transplant. There's some nuances there, obviously. Now, because they don't want to leave you with a right kidney that's already showing signs of the distress, the nuclear medicine scan is for them to be like, okay, we trust the fact that your right kidney is operating, that if we took the left kidney, you would be fine. So that's kind of the overall purpose of it. But as I just talked about, these numbers are nuanced. So I don't want to throw out and be like, you have to have 45% or more on your right kidney for them to give the okay, the green light to donate your left kidney. Please do not take this. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor. These were just that was a number that I knew was thrown around in the Facebook support group. Because let me just tell you, everything's a case-by-case basis. So don't do what I did or do what I did. Whatever, but I'm giving you some information now. Don't freak out if you don't see an even 50-50 split. I cried when I got my results because it was saying my left was operating at 54% and my right was at 46, or maybe it was like my left was at 50, 56 and my right was at like 44. I think that was more so what it was. Because I was like, I was catastrophizing. You know how we all can be catastrophizing on this journey. And I was like, oh no, this is gonna hurt my chances of maybe an auto transplant. What if I do need to donate and they won't give me that? So for me to then find out later that my tears were in vain and UW Health was like, yeah, your nutcracker, your nuclear medicine scan looks good. We're confident that if you left your left kidney, your right would be able to function. So it's a case by case basis. Again, I'm just I'm vulnerably telling you all that I got in my head a bunch, and it's hard not to do. Right? I'm a psychology professor that knows all the things to do to not get in my head, and here we are still. So I don't share that to say like, oh, well, if this psych professor can't even, it's it. We're on a hard path, people. This is so, there's a lot that goes into this. So if you do cry, if you do catastrophize, just be compassionate with yourself in it. That is really all I'm saying here. So how the nuclear medicine scan works is they inject a radioactive tracer in you, which I had a lot of jokes about that, into your veins, and it's absorbed by the kidneys, and it emits a gamma radiation. So the gamma camera then detects the radiation and creates images of the kidneys, which is actually a cool part of all this. Which the areas that absorb more tracer will appear brighter on the scan, while the areas that absorb less will appear darker. Okay, so keep that in mind as I now transition into what the process was like. So, first, you show up. Mine was at a hospital. It was at UC Health out in Aurora, which is just a crap shoot. It was so busy. Parking was crazy. So, always keep that in mind with parking. I arrive as early as you can, just if that. I get really nervous about parking too, if anybody out there is similar to me. So I was arrived pretty early. So I arrived at the hospital and checked in at the radiology department. UC Health is a shit show. So I just went to the front desk and was like, where's the radiology department? And then they pointed me on where to go. And most doctors will say, like, oh, your scan's at 1, but show up at like 12:45 to tell you that. So, I always put it in my calendar as that, like as if it is a 12:45 appointment. So, but for this particular appointment, I was told to arrive 30 minutes before my scheduled scan and that I needed to stay well hydrated for 24 to 48 hours prior to the scan and the day of. Because again, they're looking at the functioning of your kidneys. So, you know, as we said in athletics, hydrate or dehydrate, people. So I drank tons of water, which was annoying. because I had to pee all the time. But the more hydrated you are, the better they'll be able to see the radioactive tracer function throughout your kidneys. So you'll have more precise results with the scan. So just again, hydrate or dehydrate. The procedure itself, so I got there early. I actually got there way earlier than 30 minutes. And because you know me, my anxious self, and got there for the checked in, and then I sat for a while actually, and then they took me back and they inserted an IV first and foremost. And that was actually a really comical moment. It was very precious. So I had this nurse who had a Russian accent, and he was very, very, very sweet. When he was sticking the IV in me, though, which again, I'm not nervous about needles too much, so this could be different. But he just looked, he said something to me that has never been said to me before when they stuck a needle in, and he looked at me, he said, "Don't move." And then he like stuck the needle in, and I was like, "Trust me, Gregory, I'm not gonna move, okay?" But I just thought that was cute. Usually they'll do a little 1, 2, 3 poke is what I'm used to. So that's just brought me some con that brought me comedic relief in that moment, because I was like, yeah, that's the last thing I'm gonna do in this situation. So he inserted the IV. He was very sweet. He told me about what to expect. So then we walked into the room where the procedure table was. It was very similar to a CT, but it's not a CT. So you're not going to be sitting on a CT table like the renal Hiler block is. But the table itself is very, think CT table. So they put me on there. I was in the supine position, which is laying flat on my back with my facing up. And the tech told me that the nuclear medicine scan was a two-phase process, which I had no clue about this. So I'm learning for it the first time as I'm sitting on this table. So phase one, he goes, phase one is a 20-minute scan. And then he told me if they found any abnormalities during phase one, we would progress to phase two, which would be another 30-minute scan. If there's people that are listening to this and you're like, that's not what I was told, leave some comments to say like, oh, I was told something different. But I just very vividly remember that was what I was told. So I was really nervous. I was like, oh no, if he comes back in and says we have to go to phase two, then I, again, me and my catastrophic thinking. Before we started phase one, and while I was positioned on the table, the tech administered the radioactive tracer at that moment. I remember it feeling a tad cold going in. It wasn't painful at all, not uncomfortable at all, but just so y'all know, it was a little cold. It wasn't like made me freezing the rest of the time. Always know you can ask for a blanket if you want. Something I wish I would have done is I had these like thick winter boots on. Since you're laying on a table for 20 minutes, I wish I'd have taken those off. So get comfortable. Don't worry about, just be like, oh, I'm gonna get comfortable really quick. Because I mean, it's a CT table that you're sitting on, so it wasn't, the most comfortable thing. So for my nuclear medicine scan, that was like the prep, and then he inserted the radioactive tracer, and I just sat there. And what was cool about it, and I do geek out about medical stuff, like I know some, I get anxiety about it, don't get me wrong, I have high medical anxiety, but one of the things I've done to kind of counteract that is get curious. So the cool thing was is that they have this screen right above you, and they actually positioned it to where I could see it, and it shows your kidneys on the thing, and you could see the active tracer going through it, so you could see it lighting up, which I thought was cool. I just like, well, it gives you something to do, and it shows the countdown timer. So once my 20-minute scan was completed, the tech kept me on the table while they assessed the phase one results. They came in, told me no abnormalities were noted, and I didn't have to progress to phase two. I took that as a dang win, because gotta take the wins where they come, people. While this didn't mean my results were 100%, and I still needed to wait for the official results once the radiologist looked at it, it simply meant that there weren't any glaring abnormalities that warranted me for staying for phase two. Who determined what was an abnormality or not? I don't know if Gregory, the tech, was going in there doing it. I don't really know. But at that point, I think some of me was like, oh, well, can I stay for more of a scan just to make sure? And I was like, no, Simone, just take the win is what it is. So that was nice. So that was what my nuclear medicine scan results were as far as that moment. And then they came back and they told me what the split was, which again, I think was like 56 for my left, 44% for my right. It might have been a 54-46 split, I forget. But the overall time commitment, so while I was only there for approximately 60 minutes, so 30 minutes for the check-in and 30 minutes for the actual scan, I was told that the scan could take anywhere from 90 minutes to 120. So just wrap your head around that, go in expecting that time frame, and just be grateful if it's shorter. So if you can just wrap your head around, like, okay, I got to lock in for 120 minutes, rather than I think it's only going to be 60 minutes and then you are there for another 60. Oh, we all hate that. It just depends on how things pan out for you. So I was prepared to be there for the minimum of the 2 hours if needed. Thankfully, my process was a lot shorter. But I arrived at 3 p.m. and I was walking out of the hospital at 4:11. So it was a fairly easy scan. There was nothing painful. The most painful thing was just them putting the IV in. At this point, I've been poked so much that it just is what it is. Do I love needles? No. Can I handle it? Yes, unless it's a nurse that is incompetent, keeps poking me and poking me, then I have a problem. There was nothing that caused any nutcracker related pain. However, I don't want to say my lived experience is yours. Again, they're inserting some people I know that are allergic to contrast, so they that co could exacerbate their nutcracker symptoms. So just be aware of that. And then I've would note too that being so hydrated and having to sit still for a long scan, that did cause some bladder pain. So, you know, they don't allow you to pee until after the scan. Well, at least I was told that. However, for me, they did allow me to pee before the scan, which I was happy about. So that's something to just ask prior to time for you to prepare. I think there could be some places that don't allow this. I remember getting mixed me messages about it, and I'm not really sure why. So when you are scheduling your scan, you know, ask these questions if you're worried about it. As I know, some nutcracker related symptoms are bladder related. So mine were not necessarily bladder related, so that was why I don't think it affected me. So, but my hope in sharing this experience and telling you what it is, what to expect, all that stuff, it'll alleviate some anxiety surrounding the scans. So again, big hugs to us all. And as I end every one of these episodes, I just want to invite you to just ground yourself in this moment. Take a big, deep breath in through your nose and a slow exhale. Grounding yourself in this moment. And again, deep inhale through your nose and a slow exhale through your mouth. And keeping with that flow at your own pace as you either transition to the next episode or what you have going about your day. But whatever is next for you, as always, just take a moment to thank yourself for showing up for yourself in this way.